She's just buff.
Buff is, like, buffer than a dude.
I miss that word, buff.
Buff.
Just like I was telling you earlier, I miss the word bad, like saying I'm bad, so bad, like Michael Jackson. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try to bring buff back. But this is The Mandalorian Episode 4 review with hits and misses. We're a little behind on this one because Thanksgiving holiday was last week and we went out of town and we were supposed to watch The Mandalorian like 10 different times while we were out of town.
But holidays, not sorry.
Holidays got in the way and we had other activities and we just couldn't get around to it, but it was one of the first things that we did watch when we got back home. And I guess this is where we can start the review. I'm a little on the fence about this episode because I liked it, but at the same time...
It's almost like episode 2 was just like filler type development. The same thing for this one. It's like, it almost seems like they've got a theme going where it's like... A really good episode, filler, really good.
Conflict of the week is what you said last week. You said, I hope this doesn't turn into a conflict of the week. And then I watched this episode, and I was like, shit, Mona's right. This is a conflict of the week. That's a different podcast.
Where I'm always right? Ooh, I would love to star on that one.
That one doesn't exist.
Well, yes, it does. We just need to record it.
Maybe. Okay.
Back to The Mandalorian.
So Mandalorian Episode 4 kicks off with Mando and Baby Yoda in a cute little funny scene in the spacecraft where he's pressing buttons, both figuratively and literally, and brings out a little bit of attitude.
Yeah.
And they're really looking for Sanctuary, which happens to be the name of this episode, Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for a safe place to lay low for a little bit of time because they're on the run now, obviously, after everything that went down in episode 3. And they land on this planet.
It's a backwater planet.
Let me back up a little because the opening scene actually is what's going on the planet. And like some Viking-like village killers.
It's a farm village, like a fish farm village type thing.
Yeah, it's a fish farm village, but the opening scene is like an invasion of that village and the people hiding. So you're automatically on their side of things and like feeling like they're victims of like the invading Viking-like warriors that are trying to kill them and destroy their village.
Plunder and all that.
Yeah, at first I kind of felt like it was almost a flashback to early Mandalorian stuff.
But it's not,
and it's happening in real time. And in comes Mandalorian and Baby Yoda, and after a couple of comedic relief scenes, like when he says, stay in the ship, and then the door opens up, and he looks down, and sure enough...
He's right beside him.
Yeah
Baby Yoda's.
No, I mean... I'm endeared just like the rest of America and all the internet is with this whole Baby Yoda phase.
He's so cute.
He is very cute, but he doesn't redeem like shoddy writing and plot structure. And sorry, this episode was very dry to me. It was necessary, I guess. It's just like that second episode. It's another side quest, but this one has a little bit more meaning, and we're introduced at least to a couple of cool new characters. That buff lady that we were just talking about, once they make it into the village, you know, they talk about trying to lay low and trying to find a place of refuge.
So what better place to start than going to a bar?
Yeah, they walk into a bar, which is like Star Wars 101, a cantina, bar, whatever this place is, and the Mandalorian approaches the bartender, has a conversation with her, and then in the background is one of our new characters, played by Gina Carano.
She keeps eyeing up the
Mandalorian. Cara Dune. Cara Dune is her name, and she keeps, she's making eye contact with him because she knows, like, he's a man of business.
She knows
she's a woman of business. They both know each other's sort of attitude and the type of people that they are.
Like recognizes like.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Mandalorian orders a bowl of soup, and they get in a fight. A pretty cool little fight scene. Gina Carano, the actress, is a UFC background, if folks don't know out there. So she's a perfect fit for this.
Heck yeah.
She is a very built and strong woman who physically handles the Mandalorian pretty
like a
pretty
sack
easily.
Of potatoes.
Yep, and that was a neat little fight scene, and he even tries to flamethrower her.
She stomped on that. Nope.
Stomped, puts it out, and then we get another Baby Yoda comedic relief scene because he walks
I forgot
up
about
with a bowl
that
of soup.
Now.
Yeah, he actually brings the soup.
It's like the fight was broken by the sound of the slurping soup. And then we look over and there's Baby Yoda just standing there innocently watching them fight.
Slurping soup.
2 feet away.
I recently found out is like a compliment in every tradition or every culture except for the U.S.
Well, I don't know about every culture except for the U.S., but some cultures, yes.
Which is cool. So, yeah, here comes Yoda, Baby Yoda slurping soup. So, anyways, all of this happens in the first 10 minutes, and this is another 30-minute episode, and I've already mentioned 3 comedic relief moments from Baby Yoda and a fight scene that's okay. But it took a while for this thing to get going, and what I did like about it was that it builds up on the heart, the emotions of the Mandalorian again, because there's another female character introduced, one of the villagers, who he sort of, I wouldn't say
it
falls
almost
for.
Almost as if they were trying to set it up as where they would be able to fall for each other
later
if they had
on.
Given enough time and stuff like that, and if, you know, he mm-hmm. wasn't on the run. There was even, I know we'll back up and get back to it, but there was even a scene where she was very close to taking off his helmet.
Yeah,
and he was very close to letting her. Like, she started lifting it like half an inch before he stopped her gently and everything.
Important to note, in this episode, we find out that Mandalorians can take their helmets off.
Of course.
They have to eat.
You know?
They have to sleep. So up until this point, I thought he was just a robot who stayed awake all day long and didn't eat anything.
No.
But it's okay to take your helmet off when you're in private and doing things that require your helmet taken off. But interesting, because the whole
concept is no one's allowed to take the helmet off of you, like a opponent. They can't take it off,
right?
And you can't take it off in the presence of others, because if your face is seen, you're not allowed to put the helmet back on. It's just their way. It's their belief system.
This is the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, yeah, so
it's like a point of honor.
That makes sense. I'd like to read the Mandalorian code someday, like top to bottom. I'm sure it exists somewhere.
Yeah.
But, the interesting note about this episode, I've been paying attention to the criticisms from some really out there critics of the show. In the first 3 episodes, some people were upset that there were no major female characters. Like, after 3 episodes, less than an hour and a half worth of screen time, I would say. No, 40
really?
Minutes. Yeah. There were some people out there. It was all over Twitter for like a week, and I don't put much investment in the people
it's
that,
just
you
getting
know,
started. I hadn't even noticed.
Yeah, but we're 3 episodes in, and there were people clamoring for major female characters, because, you know, we're in that era where if it's a male-driven show, somebody who wants to see the balance of men and women having prominent roles in it are going to speak up. So within the first 3 episodes, we get this crowd, and then this episode perfectly shuts them all up, because yeah. we get Gina Carano's Cara Dune, and then I forget the villager girl's name.
I don't remember.
But she's also a prominent character who brings a little bit of emotion out of the Mandalorian again, mm-hmm. because at first he's like all business again when he goes to this planet. He just wants a place to hide. You remember those 2 villagers that are begging for him to come help? And he's like, I can't help you.
She
and
keeps
then
offering
they say,
to
we're
set
in the
him
middle
up
of,
inside so he can
I'm
do
talking
things
about
in private.
The villagers, the 2 male villagers
oh,
who
yeah,
come
yeah.
approach him on the ship.
Oh, that
when they
will,
land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they say, please come help us. We're being
attacked.
Mm-hmm. And eventually that's what this episode turns into, is like
that's how
a mini
the
Ewok
village.
Battle.
Yeah.
But there's that line that the villagers say, we're in the middle of nowhere. And that's what turns him on, because he's looking for sanctuary.
What happened is that he was trying to fix up his ship, and this was after the bar scene with Cara Dune.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
That's fine. Cara Dune is cool too.
Shush. And this was after the bar scene with them, and he was like, I guess the planet's taken. So I guess he was fixing up his ship and everything to get ready to leave the planet, and these 2 villagers, two men from that village do come up on this like little hover thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like this
they,
barge, this moving barge.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And they're trying to employ his help to defend the village and everything. because he's a Mandalorian, and they thought it would be the honorable thing for him to do, that that was his way or something of that nature. But he turns him down, even with the gold and or whatever it was that they, the credits that they wanted to give him, because it wasn't enough. And then when they were complaining that they had it took them all day to travel here, and now they're gonna have to travel all the way back to nowhere with no one to protect them, and it's, you know, stuff like that. And that piqued his interest, because he's like, wait, it's in the middle of nowhere.
That's exactly what he's looking visitors. For.
Okay, just he took the job for the little bit of the money that they were able to provide, and his payment he took as the shelter.
And then
he gave the money to that lady to employ her help to come with him.
And then it turns into like the they're trying to go for your emotional strings a little bit in painting the picture that, you know, baby Yoda really grows comfortable in this village.
He's playing and with
then the
kids.
Mandalorian eventually turns into wanting to help this village out a little bit. So along with Cara Dune, they sort of stage a trap for the AT-ST,
by the way, was what was attacking the village
along with the Viking-like guys. Things. Yeah. So a little bit of shades of the Ewok battle from Return of the Jedi. Definitely some homage paid there. And also there's a lot of the animated Star Wars series. There's a lot of nods to that, because the same people that rose in prominence for their directing and their producing of those animated series, Star Wars Rebels and Star Wars, why can't I remember the other one? But Jedi Knights, something like that. My brothers love them, but I don't remember the names, nor did I ever watch episodes of them. But a lot of people involved in those shows are involved in this, so a lot of the storylines are bleeding over. Like even that little that cat when they walked into the bar that meowed at Yoda
hissed
at Yoda. That's a cat from one of the cartoons. That's like an Easter egg now for people who are into the cartoons. So there's a lot of that stuff bleeding in and out. And the battle scene is definitely an homage. I want to say even the village and the planet they're on was highlighted in one of those shows. There's so much in the Star Wars universe, it's tough to tackle. We started this whole series off being honest and upfront, like we're probably middle of the pack when it comes to Star Wars knowledge. But this show's teaching me a lot, and it's making me interested in visiting some of these other shows from the last 10 years to sort of catch up on the little quirks and Easter eggs. But so after the AT-ST siege and trap and the villagers are thwarted, then it flash forwards like a couple of weeks. And we don't get to see what happens in the village for that couple of weeks. But all of a sudden, the Mandalorian wants to leave, and he's made the decision that he's going to leave Baby Yoda there because it's safe for him there. And
it's very hidden. They rarely ever get visitors, and he's grown very attached to the other children there.
Yeah, which he has, and he's playing with them, and they like him as well. But then all that is quickly turned on a dime, and okay, this show doesn't have a lot of time per episode to convey all of this like weightiness that it wants to, and that's one of the problems that I had with this episode, is that 35 minutes was not enough for me to build like an emotional investment that
they were trying to go for.
They were going for. Yeah. And so the Mandalorian, all of a sudden, after episode 3, I thought, you know, him and Yoda were tight, and they were road dogs and to the death. And then all of a sudden, he just wants to leave this baby with this group of villagers they just met. And just because it's safe, great. That's quickly turned upside down when one of the bounty hunters with the John tracking. Wick tracking thing shows up, and he's killed by Cara Dune, who sort of proves her allegiance there to fighting the good fight, because she's a former Rebel Shock
I believe that's trooper. What it was.
Yeah, Rebel Shock Troopers. So those are the like stormtroopers with the fancier gear than the normal ones, who I think can fly and have different weapons and stuff like that. Again, my deep Star Wars lore eludes me, but I've heard a lot of whispers from within my family, and I'm sure if I'm wrong on that, my brothers will correct me. But
oh, yeah, they will.
Yeah, Mandalorian Episode 4 was good. Not the strongest in the series. I would still give that to the third episode.
I mean, like I said earlier, it seems as if, just from the couple that we've gotten so far, it's strong episode, weak episode, strong, weak. That's the pattern they've gotten so far.
Main mission, side mission. Mm-hmm. Main mission, side mission.
That's what they've done so far.
The next episode, if I'm predicting how 5's gonna go,
it's gonna be a strong.
It's gonna be strong main mission. And God, I hope we're introduced to a real substantial villain. I've been saying that for so long, and there's only 8 episodes left.
It'd be nice
if there's only 8 episodes in all. So yeah. We've only got 5, 6, 7, 8.
It would be nice if we're introduced to a character that stays in the show more than just the 30 minutes. Because that's what's making it feel like an episode of the week, because nobody is sticking around. If you had someone that he takes with them or just becomes like a constant character, it would make it feel as if they have a solid storyline that's flowing from one episode to the next.
Yeah, really good point. The only two characters that we're super invested in at this point are Baby Yoda and the Mandalorian. And we've been introduced to so many side characters that
like
I feel
lady,
this is going
if
down.
If she was in it for the rest of it, I'd be thrilled because she's awesome.
Well, interesting you mention that, because they've already started filming season 2 of this show, and Gina Carano's already taken pictures of the set. So she's coming back for sure for season 2, which means, spoilers, she survives anything that happens in season 1. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit real quick, because what this is feeling like with all of this side character, side mission storylines going on, I feel like maybe the last 2 episodes are going to bring everybody together somehow, and there's going to be some sort of like good, and just like in all Star Wars, there's going to be, you know, the good guys versus the bad guys, but it's going to be a more widespread sort of thing. I think Baby Yoda's
going to
change.
He's getting all these connections that he's going to be able to call upon.
Yeah,
type thing.
Even from the doctor who was operating on Yoda.
The I Have Spoken dude.
Yeah, the I Have Spoken guy. The Carl Weathers character who gives out the bounties to the guys. He might be one of the guys, you know, going back and forth, good or bad allegiance. You've got the old man. You've got a couple of people who haven't even been introduced to the show yet that are big actors, like Giancarlo Esposito. I think he might be the bad guy. He's from Breaking Bad and a couple of other really solid roles in the past, but he's supposed to be in this. He's one of the headliners. I haven't seen the sight of him yet, so he looks like he could be shaping up to be one of the bad guys. But yeah, it's definitely taking on the tone of that larger Star Wars world. It's just taken a while to get there, and I get it.
But they don't have a whole lot of time, actually.
They don't.
It's not that many episodes, and other episodes are very short.
8 episodes, which in this version of TV land, I think they're averaging around 30 minutes right now. So 8 episodes, you're talking about 4 hours, and that's like, I mean, that's not a lot when it comes to TV. I remember looking at the back of 24 episode seasons and seeing runtimes of like 600 plus minutes and stuff like that. You're not getting that with this. You're getting a much more condensed version, which might please a lot of people, because a lot of folks just want that sort of black and white, cut and dry Star Wars world, which has been some of the biggest positive criticism of this show so far, is that it's presenting a very approachable storyline in a very elaborate universe, and it does do that very well. I just would like to see more depth in the story, which is contrarian to what everybody else, I think, is really digging about this show, is that it's simple and it's straightforward.
I've noticed with a lot of shows, though, that they start off episode of the week and they kind of got to build before they can get that very nice flow to them where they go from episode to episode.
What other shows come to mind when you think of that? Put you on the spot, eh?
Supernatural.
Yeah, Supernatural's been
around. Like the first couple of seasons was like Monster of the Week type thing, and it didn't get to a couple seasons in where it had like this main underlying core storyline that every episode was about or working towards. Even though they may have had Monsters of the Week on the episode, they were still working towards that main thing, and all those Monsters of the Week were in somehow relation to it.
And like every third or fourth episode would be going back to, you know, the yellow eyed guy or the Lucifer Castiel deal.
All that stuff. And I mean, of course, the plots as the seasons went on did change and everything, or evolve or get bigger, or some things resolved, but yet another thing cropped up. But for the first couple seasons, it was just like they were so disconnected.
Yeah. And they tried to bring them all together. I don't know. I stopped watching Supernatural like the fifth season.
The Mandalorian to be connected.
Yeah, I want the Mandalorian to get connected quick because
they don't have time.
The side mission episodes, I see through them. I get what the writers and directors are trying to do. They want you to get closer to the main characters, the two main characters, and see different shades of them. I think you can do all of that with main storyline plot lines and episodes. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd like to see more
depth.
More depth in the plot in episode 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. Side note, this episode was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard, who's like a famous actress. She was Lady in the Water. She's been in a handful of other really good movies too. This is her first crack at TV directoring, I think. But Jon Favreau wrote this one as well. So it makes sense that there's strong female leads in this because she's a strong female director. And I was just talking about this with Mad Mags today because the Scarlett... what's her name? Scarlett Johansson is not Scarlet Witch. Scarlett Johansson is playing the Black Widow. I get Scarlet Witch, Scarlett Johansson, and Black Widow all mixed up in one hodgepodge.
The girl that plays the Scarlet Witch, she's one of the Olsen sisters.
Yeah, she's Elizabeth
not
Olsen.
Not one of the twins.
Yeah, she's one of the separate sisters. Yeah. I didn't even know they were all related, but that's, you learned me that.
I learned you that. I need to learn you some English.
I was just talking to Mad Mags about the... I did it again. I want to say Scarlet Witch, but it's Scarlett Johansson. Black Widow trailer just came out today, and it's being directed by a female director, and Wonder Woman was directed by a female director. So when I saw that this episode of The Mandalorian was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard, I knew that we were going to get the strong female leads brought in because, you know, nobody knows how to do strong female leads better than strong female directors. It makes sense, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So if I'm going to look, maybe I'll do this for the next episode conversation. I'm going to look at who the directors are for the last like three episodes, and I'm going to try to predict the tone of those based on the directors, because I can do that pretty well with TV. A lot of the same, I loved all the Fox TV shows from the late 90s and early 2000s. We're watching some of them now, like Harsh Realm.
Oh, I love that one.
And Fringe, X-Files, even Millennium and some lesser knowns. A lot of the directors that were all part of the best episodes of those shows, they moved, they transitioned from show to show to show. So like the best bunch from the X-Files would do stuff for Millennium, they would do stuff for Harsh Realm, and then they jump later on to Fringe and some other TV shows that have raised in prominence since then. So with that, I was always able to get a sort of vibe for like, oh, Brad Anderson's directing this episode of Fringe. I know this is going to be that sort of episode. And I'm going to get there with Mandalorian eventually when I learn who these people are and where they came from. That's why I want to revisit all the old Star Wars stuff. So again, this episode was good. It led to a 20-minute conversation on the deal.
I think this episode had the most humor in it than all the other episodes.
A lot of humor.
It was a lot of humor, like subtle humor, but still humor. There's a joke out there, a meme that I noticed, that the entire episode could be summed up with Baby Yoda had an image of him cooing and then just a Mandalorian sighing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, he's like a kid tagging along at this point who who turns up all the time and has just that perfect timing. Perfect timing. So, yeah, overall, good episode. Not the best of the bunch by any means, but it did
have really good humor in it. That was a redeeming point for me.
Good humor and introduce good characters.
I did like Cara Dune.
Cara Dune, played by Gina Carano again. Yes.
Yeah, I just like, Gina was very good actress to put in this role because her, Buff. No, not only that, it's just even down to like her facial expressions just were able to match her character so well. Like she was able to really, I guess, do this character justice.
Get in the
She zone. Did.
Yeah, get in the vibe of, mm-hmm. of a former Rebel Shock Trooper who's got a little bit of a soft side now, but is still hard-nosed.
And she had that edginess to her.
And very and edgy and strong.
Just the actress, she just carried that into the role very well.
Yeah, it's kind of who she is now, because like she used to beat women up for a living.
Yeah, and it followed through into her role. Pulp,
and now she's an actress, so I wouldn't she's go got to tone her. It down a little bit. Yeah, same thing with Ronda Rousey, who switched over to acting in WWE stuff, which is pretty much acting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, seeing a lot of people find their second wind in their careers and have to show a little bit of a softer side. So props to Gina Carano. Props to Pedro Pascal, who plays the Mandalorian. He's cooler and
don't
cooler
tell me.
Every episode.
I don't want to know who plays him.
Oh, you didn't know who it was?
No. It's okay because no image of his face comes to mind. I am not looking up who plays the Mandalorian because I don't want to know what his face looks like until they reveal it in the show. I don't want that build up, that suspense ruined for me.
Oh, that's probably
I'm keeping
be...
the surprise. Don't you dare spoil it for me.
I don't know how it ends, but I'm got a pretty good feeling the last episode, the last shot of this first season is going to be like a helmet coming off.
No, I completely anticipate the end of the season it's going to be off, or at least the beginning of the next season. But there was this episode did have a couple references to his helmet coming off. Like there was a couple different times where the village woman was inquiring about him taking it off.
Oh yeah.
And he was almost okay with the idea if he would have been able to have more time to just settle with her. They were alluding to that. And there was a moment where he took his meal from her in the privacy of the hut or whatever. He was watching out, I guess, like a window or a little walkway type thing. He was watching Baby Yoda play with all the other kids completely out in the open, I guess. And I guess it was like a balcony, I don't know. And he had you didn't see him, you just saw like his shoulder, and he took his helmet off and set it down beside his food so he could eat. And I'm like, if anybody had just looked up, they would have been able to see him. I mean, that's not really smart on him to do, if, you know.
Yeah.
But still, there was a couple different references on his helmet coming off, so I kind of feel that that's coming soon.
Yeah, for sure.
So don't spoil it for me.
No, I don't know how it ends. I mean, or do I?
No, you're not that awesome.
I might. I might be, and I am.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. But I'm the one that's always right, so. Yeah.
Okay. We'll go with it for now.
Oh, we're always going with it.
Until next time, folks. Mandalorian Episode 4. Check it out. It's streaming now on Disney Plus. We will be back Saturday or Sunday with the Episode 5 review once we get to watch it, because we don't have to worry about Thanksgiving this week.
Woohoo!
Kind of Thanksgiving every day.
What?